First mausoleum monster movie review. I am your gruesome grave digging host, Torturous Tommy Doom, and I'm actually joined by a fellow crypt. What's the word I can say here for you?
Cryptic zombie follower, I guess.
You can say that. Somebody that I dug up from the crypt. We have with us guest Chris Daisy. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here at the crypt, Mr. Tommy Doom.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, just to let the fans know, today is September 19th. We are only 6 days away from the third season premiere of the Midnight Dungeon podcast on September 25th. So be prepared for that. But anyways, not enough about that. We are here today at the Mausoleum Monster Movie Review to review Christopher R. Witherspoon's Rage. It's an independent horror film. And we're gonna review it. So, Chris, you want to start us off here?
All right. Yes. First off, we're gonna go through the introduction of the movie. We're gonna go over it and tell what it is basically about. Well, basically, Rage is about a motorcycle killer. He's following this one man who apparently is in a love triangle and supposedly is cheating on his girlfriend. So the motorcycle guy tries to get revenge on him. Or is it?
Some might even say it's karma that's actually chasing after him. But yes, that is the premise of the film. For a little known fact out there is that the psycho biker killer is played by the director himself, Christopher R. Witherspoon, who wrote, produced, directed, and starred in. And not as the main guy, but as the main killer guy.
There's a lot of roles to be in, you know?
Okay, so basically, let's start things off here. With the premise of the film, personally, Chris, I felt that the premise, it was a very good idea. You know, it's like Christopher Witherspoon says, because he got the inspiration from this from Steven Spielberg's film Duel.
Yes, I felt like this was a really good premise. I liked the idea that it gave the viewers an idea that the biker was really pissed off at this one dude. And although not much information was placed upon him, all we knew was that it was a boy. We only knew so much about the bike, and he wanted to kill this one man, so we only could assume he only had was bent on revenge. And I felt like it presented that very well.
You know what? It really did. And one thing I will definitely say, we could definitely elaborate on this in this discussion, but personally, I felt that it had a really good impression or view of the color first half of the film.
Well, that I could debate with you a bit, but yeah, yes, there was a bunch of red, color red, shown throughout the film. As is called, I would figure it would be the motif, as it showed in the first couple of scenes, it showed the definition of the word rage, followed by the color red. And throughout the movie, you could point out a lot of objects and a lot of scenes where red was significantly more saturated and more outstanding than other colors on the scene. And it would be, you know, associated with what's happening on the scene, which I felt was pretty well done. But it felt like it got weak during the last half of the movie. Probably because it was dark and in the middle of the night. But I still felt like it kind of forgot that whole motif and it just let it just die out. And that's what I...
And I would agree with you on that. I mean, in certain parts, and Red Alert, we are going to throw spoilers out here. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers and you want to go out and see the movie, go out and see the movie and then come back and play this episode of the podcast. But anyways, like you were saying...
Too late for that.
Anyways, as we were saying, with the color red, you know, there were certain scenes, like, at one point in the beginning, they showed a rotting away apple that had some red on it. And again, in the beginning, it gave the definition of what rage means from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and then it had the red background. What other good... The car. Remember Denny's car?
Oh, yes, car. His car was red. His car was red, yes. That was the whole film. I guess it kind of signified that, you know, that he was pretty much... guilty of his, you know, sins of cheating.
Yeah, he was. And at one point in the, I guess you could say it was probably after a little bit of the storyline had already been said in the beginning, there was a scene that kind of, I felt, really set the film in motion, which was Denny, the main character, parks his red car in a parking spot, which apparently belonged to the psycho biker killer. And, you know, he's on the phone talking to his psychologist friend, you know, and everything. And the biker guy is just right there. He's like, dude, what the hell? You stole my spot. But more or less about the biker character, he was mysterious. He, you know, he had his costume on, his leather, what is it, his leather coat and his pants.
Yeah, leather biker jokes and biker coat and everything, yes.
Yeah, and he had the big biker helmet on, which he never took off. He never uttered a sound.
Not a single word throughout the whole film. I agree with you. I like the bad guy. I like the bad guy in this film. I felt like, you know, he played his role correctly. He was presented correctly. He just, the mysterious black guy, black biker dude, and he was just mysterious. He did all these weird psychology things. He always was one step ahead. And he would never say a word. He just was there. And when you knew he was there, you knew something bad was going to happen. And I felt like he was pretty strong throughout the whole movie.
Indeed. And if you also look very carefully in the film, in terms with the character of Denny, now, sorry to point this out to you, Mr. Witherspoon, but now we're going to get to a little bit of the bad stuff here. It's also in regards to the main character of Denny. Chris, do you want to take care of some of the weaker moments for Denny?
Yes. I felt that Denny, the main character, I... honestly did not like his role. I did not like his acting. He felt weak. He had such a monotone voice. And his face didn't show any expression. I don't know if it was the beard or his face. I don't know. He felt like a weak character. His dialogue wasn't that strong. I honestly didn't, you know, even though he was the main character and suffering through all this, I didn't feel much of a connection or... I didn't feel any that much of sympathy. I didn't think his role was that good. I felt like another person could have done his job better.
I also would have to say that for sure, especially with the, like you were saying about the monologue and all that.
Oh, yes, the monologue.
It could have been a lot better, in my opinion as well, because at certain points, like in the beginning of the film, when he's talking to Dana, the French chick, who Denny was cheating on. Again, spoilers, so, you know, with the spoilers, you know, please turn away, watch the film, then come back. At one point, the way he said it is, he's like, I love my wife. When I was in your store, I was shopping for my wife. Instead, it could have been more...
he sounded more like a robot, yes.
Instead, he could have been more like, well, you know, when I was in your store, I was always shopping for my wife. You know, I love my wife more. He could have showed more emotion.
See, this guy could, you know, win an Academy Award or something of the kind of voice, man. Awesome. I don't know. I felt, yeah, his tone, you know, if you're telling something that you love somebody, then you love someone else, you know. I know he was trying to be direct and point, straight to the point, but he could have shown a little bit more emotion towards it, because, you know, well, love's a bar, so emotional feeling. But, yeah, that's what I have to say about him.
Yeah, and also his inner thought monologue, as you were pointing out earlier, he didn't show enough emotion into it. His voice was too soft. He didn't portray enough in the inner thought monologues.
Yeah, in a way, I kind of actually felt the voice was a bit distracting because it was so sudden. I know he was in the middle of thought, but I felt like the voice was really distracting and it felt out of place. You know, it was, his mouth wasn't moving, so I figured it was his thought, but it just could have been, it felt like it could have been defined better that it was his thoughts done, like if there was an echo or something. But that's really nitpicking, so I felt like, that's why I don't want to nitpick, but I feel like that the voice could have been better by being echoed or being signified that it was being his thoughts instead of just a random voice in the background.
Now, another thing that we would also want to get into on here was the suggestive themes and lack of blood and gore. Now, the thing is, not every horror, with a horror film, you don't have to have blood and gore and guts everywhere and hacking people's eyes out. You know, that doesn't make, you know, it adds good to it, but not all horror films can be like that.
Well, it might be the taste of a few individual fans out there, but you're right. It does not define the base of a good horror film. In this film particularly, I felt like it was done right. I felt like, you know, it signified, you know, people were dying, of course. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the intestines flying out and they're getting strangled by them. You know, it doesn't have to do that. It doesn't have to. It just has to know that the guy was dying. There's blood splurting, and there's, knives, there's everything. Come on. You know the person isn't going to die. It shows enough content to sell that, you know, It shows enough content to sell the point that the guy is, you know, bleeding. And I think it was done right.
You know, especially like a scene in the partly middle of the movie where Denny's in the bathroom and the biker's in there. And he gets pissed on. Denny gets his shoes pissed on by the biker guy in the next stall.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah,
that was disgusting, but I thought that was pretty
funny. Yeah, and then the biker comes into the next stall and starts beating the shit out of him.
Yes, I remember that scene. That scene was pretty funny. I don't know about funny, but I thought that was a pretty good scene. I mean, the guy got his shit kicked out of him. And that also reminds me of another thing, with the little flashes that happened, you know, little white spark, like little white things. I felt like that, you know, that was a good signifying, you know, the guy getting hit in the head and shit. But, yeah, I guess that's all I want to really say about that.
Another thing we could definitely get on here, again, with the bad stale meat, is the portrayal of the wife. It was a good portrayal, but I also felt, and I know Chris agrees with me here, that there was not enough airtime for her. Because, you know, the thing was, if you really want to look at the story, it revolved around her, the fact that Denny was cheating on her and he was with another woman. Karma's coming and kicking his ass. It really did revolve around the wife.
I agree. I felt like, what's her name? I don't know, whatever. The wife, you know, since the story was about her and the love triangle, and I felt like, you know, she could have been more involved in the fact that, you know, that she's not aware of the fact that his husband's cheating. And I felt like, you know, it could have been, you know, there could have been more lies, it could have been done, she could have been suspicious. You know, she didn't have much airtime, and the only time she got really that much significant amount was at the end. And I guess that somewhat suffices to mix it up, but I feel like there could have been done. I felt like she could have had a bigger role instead of that, just at the end.
Yeah, and there was the part near the end when she's saying, is this some guy we should be scared of? And then he's just looking at there with her, with like the big eyes and not doing
face.
Just not doing anything. Yeah.
The guy can't lie for shit, you know?
Yeah, and the part when he's saying, well, the truck got here. No, it was the biker and then the truck. You know, he couldn't keep his story straight. He had a horrible time getting his stories mixed up.
I mean, that's part of the story. The guy's, you know, trying to think of something, so, you know, that's funny. It was pretty funny that he was trying to make something up, but the guy, yeah, he's a pretty horrible liar, and I thought that was a funny part.
Yeah, now, the old people, this is a really good one.
Oh, the old people, yes. Yes, the old people, I thought were pretty, I thought the two old people were a pretty funny duo. Just the one scene where, I don't want you to spoil. But when the biker guy comes out and tries to, you know, goes over to their house, the little dialogue between them was pretty funny. It was like, lock the door, and he's stuttering. And the guy, woman is like, who's gone? Why should I call? And, you know, he just has no clue the urgency of the situation. And it's just, I thought she was a pretty funny role in that little scene. Even as short as she was, I thought that she was really a funny role. Oh, what about that shower scene? What do you think about that?
Oh, the shower scene, definitely. I'm glad you touched up upon that. But before we get into the shower scene, the death of the old man, you know, he's stuttering back and forth. He can't get his story straight. He's like, blah, 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 and the woman's like, what? Who do you want me to call?
Yes.
No!
Yes.
And then the biker guy gets a chainsaw, and then he just slices through the door, and with it, the old man's hand. And then he hacks him to pieces. But you don't see it. This goes enough.
This goes with the suggestive theme.
Yeah.
It shows enough. It shows enough to know that, you know, he's being mutilated with a chainsaw. It shows enough.
Yeah, it does. And then the biker follows the woman into the shower scene. And the woman's in the shower with the telephone trying to call 911. And this is a real if you ever get into it, it's a real douchebag situation. But she calls 911, and then they just hang up. Like, sorry, your call cannot be completed at this time. Thank you, and try again. It's just like, wow, can you say Rickroll?
I can say it. Her scene when the biker guy comes in, I thought was a great scene. Just the fact that he comes in, you know, finds the grandma, she's trying to call the police, and, you know, she knows she's in trouble. And I just loved it when she has the chainsaw. And every time he pulls it to start it, she just gets scared and started, I don't know, does a little thing. I thought that was a really fun, and the tension was building there, and I thought that was a really funny. I thought that was a really tensionful scene.
And another thing, I guess you could say, not exactly a beef with, but, and this is just going out to everybody out there, I also felt that the story was fast-paced.
I agree with you. We were mentioning about this. We thought the premise of the story was good. So we thought that was a good idea, a good outline for the story. But what happens is it explains the whole story in the first 5 minutes, and then the rest of the movie is about him getting chased. It's kind of unbalanced. And if you want to make the story longer or, you know, more entertaining, either, you know, get Michael Bay to do all the action films, or you either, you know, extend the story a bit, you know, so that it doesn't feel off balance, or, you know, add more themes to the story.
That also goes right up along with the biker guy, where he could have at least had a connecting story, a connecting storyline, or at least something that connected him to the rest of the story, instead of, you know, Denny comes up, pisses him off by stealing his spot, so then he's got to come in and kill him.
Well, that's kind of a tough debate to talk about. I mean, the whole idea is the guy is mysterious. You know, we're not supposed to know much about him, and then we're not supposed to know who he is. We just know that he wants him dead. And in a way, I do kind of wish that he had a little bit of more of a background, but I felt like that would have contradict his mysterious nature. Because, and I can't spoil the end, but when you see the end, I feel like, you know, it felt like his mysterious nature could have been, you know, sacrificed a little bit just to make the story a little bit stronger by it. I can't say much without spoiling anything, but I feel like, you know, it's a very hard thing to describe, because it feels like we're contradicting his nature if we said we wanted to give him a bigger backstory.
And one thing you were definitely right is, in the end, we won't, you know, spoil the end or anything, but just that the ending and everything was very anticlimactic.
Yes, without spoiling much, yes. I felt like it's hard to explain, because I felt like a Deus Ex Machinist ending was played here, where a random entity comes into the story and just solves everything or ends everything. I felt like it was a very weak ending for that one little part of the movie. For that one little part of the ending. I mean, there was two things that happened at the ending, you know, of course. Well, one guy, you know, can we really say it?
We can definitely spoil the ending. Now, again,
but
we'll definitely say what it is. And Chris, I'm going to give you the honors.
Well, he dies, of course. The biker guy dies. But the one thing we're complaining is how he dies. We're not going to see how he dies, but we do feel like that was a very weak way of him to die. You know, of all things that happened and all things he's been doing, you know, psychologically and bullshit, that was just really out of nowhere, and there should have been a much more fitting end than that.
Most definitely. But overall, after saying all this, my personal opinion, I would give this film at least...
We have to wait. You've got to do the... How to score. We have to score.
Chris is right over there. Sorry about that. Scoring this movie. Basically, it'll be on It's a scale of 1 to 10. With 5 being average and 10 being the all-time best. And this Torture's Gravedigger is giving Rage, directed by Christopher R. Witherspoon, an 8 out of 10, my personal opinion.
And I would give it I don't mean to be rude, but I would give it a 5. I felt like there was some good points done in the movie, well, within a bunch of weak points. And that could have been easily improved on, and that could have been done at held with better. It could have been handled better. Overall, it was a good premise story. I just feel like the execution could have been better, but it's an indie horror movie, so I can't really say much about that. They did a good job from what they've, you know, the standard is.
And you know what? They most certainly did. And you know what, Christopher R. Witherspoon? I know you're going to be listening to this later tonight, but please keep on making horror films. Please do so. In my opinion, you did an excellent job with this movie. And you know what? You are a really good director. So if anything else, you know, please let us know if you want to review more movies or if you have any more movies you want to throw out there for a review, please send them over here to the crypt. Well, anyways, Chris, do you have any last words you would like to say before we unfortunately have to close the caskets for the night?
Yes. I would like to join you more with doing more of these movies.
Okay,
I guess.
I would love to have you more for the Mausoleum Monster movie reviews. Anyways, unfortunately that covers it for tonight. I am Torturous Tommy Doom, and this is the Mausoleum Monster movie review here on the Midnight Dungeon Podcast.